Our first scripture reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God."
So our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John. Some of these words may sound even more familiar than usual, because I read a portion of this last week as well and decided to kind of back up in this John reading and reread a portion of last week's reading and then continue on in the 14th chapter of John. So we'll be reading verses 12 through 21. "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You will know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us." So I want to start out this morning with a little question. How many of you noticed the church marquee this week? A few hands. Okay, well, since most of you didn't notice, I took a picture of it and put it up here. So pretend you're driving down Hercules. And this was our marquee most of the week. And we got a lot of comments, more comments on this marquee than we've ever had on one. Mostly because they want to know, what does it say? Some people thought that maybe we had used spell check and it didn't work properly. Or maybe Siri had written the sign. You know, how many of you use Siri on your phones? I got a new phone this week, and this new phone needs to be trained to my southern accent, I think, because I texted Peg to tell her that I was going to have breakfast at Olga's restaurant down here on Belcher, but her text said I was going to have breakfast at Old Guy's. I don't know what Siri is trying to tell me. So we got all these. As a matter of fact, at staff meeting Tuesday, Mike comes in and says, and he's looking at Ed, who usually puts up the signs, and he says, "Ed, you've finally gone over the top." So there was all sorts of conversation about what in the world does this mean? So I decided that, and at the first of the week, it didn't have the hint on there, okay? So I decided, well, let's put a hint up there and sing it, you know, because these are words to a song. If you sing it, maybe that would help. Did it help, Mike? Didn't help. He was singing song after song after song after song. Okay. I'm going to give you the final hint. Here it is. Now do you know it? Who said that? The Walrus. The Beatles song, "I Am the Walrus." I'll just read you the lyrics from that song, where this come from. You'll recognize this. The lyrics go, "I am he as you are he, and you are me, and we are all together. I am the Eggman, they are the Eggmen. I am the Walrus, goo goo gajube." How many of you remember that song? Okay, all right, you got it. So the mystery of the marquee has been solved. I put that up there because this week's scripture reading from the Gospel of John is part of what I like to call the Walrus Gospel. Because let me read you another phrase or two. "I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one." It's the same idea, the same words. It's this whole idea of reminding us that we are one with one another, that we are one with God. Even the Beatles lyric has this symbolic symbol of the walrus as the all-encompassing presence in which we exist. But Jesus tells us that we have been given the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth lives within each and every one of us. And the Spirit of Truth draws us to this place where we realize that we are one with one another and that we are one with God. That God exists in us. I mean, isn't that an amazing thing that Jesus tells us? I am in you and you are in me, and we are in God and God is in you. The Spirit of truth. That's an amazing thing. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be one with one another and one with God? Jesus, anticipating that, tells us that it means we keep Jesus' commandments. Now, Jesus' commandments are not a whole list of rights and wrongs, of do's and don'ts. Jesus' commandments are not even the Ten Commandments. Jesus' commandments are very, very simple. He says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And even in this portion of John, he tells his disciples, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as God loves you. So this love of God, this love of self, this love of other is the Spirit of truth in us. And it is the means or the pathway, if you will, to being one with God and with one another. And the reason I wanted to back up in this scripture reading, as I explained earlier, is because I wanted us to hear again that phrase where Jesus says, because of all of this, you will do the things that I have done. You will do even more than I have done. So this kind of begs the question here. Why don't we do it? What did Jesus do? Jesus healed people. Jesus gave people hope. Jesus loved people unconditionally. Jesus accepted people for exactly who they were and who we are. And if we are to do these things that Jesus did, and even more than that, what does that look like in our world? Why aren't we doing this? I'd like to share a quote that I heard on a radio podcast this week. It's a quote from a German Jewish philosopher and journalist that lived in the 20th century, Hannah Arendt. Some of you may be familiar with her. She has several major works in the 20th century dealing with totalitarianism and the dynamics of that in social and political life. And she knows this very well because she came out of Nazi Germany and was a survivor of the Holocaust and all that went along with that. But Arendt says, what prepares people for a totalitarian domination is the fact that loneliness, once a borderline experience, usually suffered in certain marginal social conditions like old age, has become an everyday experience of the ever-growing masses of our century. Loneliness is what plants, nurtures, the seeds for totalitarianism. This is also, by the way, the main theme of George Orwell's book, 1984, which is also about totalitarianism and how people just go easily into it. As a matter of fact, in this same interview where I heard this quote from Arendt, the fact was brought up that Orwell originally wanted that book to be entitled The Last Man in Europe, because it's about loneliness and how loneliness leads us to places where we want to feel like we belong, leads us into places where perhaps we wouldn't go if we weren't so lonely. And if you look around our culture today, we are lonely people. We really are. Millions and millions of people around the world spend a majority of our time alone. We may be with other people, but guess what? We may even think we're with other people on our devices. We may even feel like we're with other people when we have the television going on all day long. But the reality is that we have lost this wonderful ability in our culture to develop community, friendships. And we can see the result of that in our world today, as people have divided lines and insisted this way is right and that way is right, and say very harsh things to one another. And what these deep thinkers of the 20th century are telling us is that loneliness is at the core of what can eventually become totalitarianism. Now, I want to suggest to us this morning that what Jesus and the gospel suggest to us is one very simple fact. We are not alone. The simple little phrase that is repeated time and again throughout Scripture from the very beginnings of the stories of Scripture is God with us. That's one of Jesus' names that he's given, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus' last words to the disciple is, I will be with you always. The passage we just read here, when he promises the coming of the Spirit of truth, that will be with us until the end. The whole message of the gospel is about community. It's about relationship. And it's in the relationship and it's in that community that we can experience and practice this love that Jesus talks about. Now, our other reading this morning is in many ways talking about the same thing. Paul is standing in Athens, and he's talking with the intelligentsia of Athens, and he's debating with them. And he notices this statue to the unknown God, and so he wants to talk about that some. He says, I see you've got this statue for this unknown God. Well, let me tell you about my understanding of God. And he rehearses the story of the Hebrew God. He tells them this. And he ends up saying to them, God is not far from each of us. For as even some of your own poets have said, Paul is quoting these Greek poets here. In God we live and move and have our being, for we too are God's offsprings. Paul makes this connection. He's saying, I'm not telling you anything new. You already know this. You already know this, that inherently, deep inside each and every one of us, we know that we are connected. And Jesus comes telling us that connection is the presence of God in our lives and throughout all of creation. That is what the promise of the gospel is. God with us, God in us, God through us, and God for us. Amen. In closing, I would like for us to hear some words from another Beatles song. Ah, look at all the lonely people. All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? The answer to loneliness, the good news is that we are not alone. God is with us. God is all around us. God is in us. God is throughout our lives. I am in you, and you are in me. And God is in us. Goo goo gajube. Amen.